welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very pleased to have with me today on University Matters, Dr. Josanne Kutayar, who is Senior Lecturer in the Department of Sociology at the Faculty of Arts here at the University, but she's also Chairperson of the newly created Cotonera Resource Centre, and it is in this capacity that she'll be speaking today. I might say that the director, Andreana Dibben, was unable to be with us today, but I know there are going to be lots of other occasions to talk about the Cotonera Resource Centre, so we'll bring her in at a later date. Welcome to you, Dr. Kutayar.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, perhaps we ought to start off with talking about the raison d'etre behind the creation of this Cotonera Resource Centre. Why really it was thought necessary, really. Perhaps you could give us a few words about that.
The Cotonera's resource center came into being last summer, but before it was established, there was something else going on. This was called the Access Project. It was entrusted to Professor Carmel Jaffay, who had been approached by the director himself, because the director was very, very worried about the fact that the number of people and young people from the Cotonera area was minimal at university level. So they tried to find ways of encouraging more young people and adults to continue with their education, even if it's not at university, because there are other post-secondary institutions which are also enable people to have a better standard of education, which we hope will equivalate into better incomes in the future. So that was one of the remit. Professor Carmel Jaffay got into contact with the principal of Santa Margherita College, and they started coming up with plans of action which could be implemented at the grassroots level to ensure that young people don't look at the university as something which is very remote from their everyday life, and to find out ways of helping them reach this goal. So one of the first projects was Access. There were like four semi-projects involved. One was working with students who had intellectual capacities but might not take post-secondary education into consideration, perhaps because education was not a part of the family cultural orientation. The second one was working with guidance officers within the college and guidance teachers to help bring the parents of these kids together and to help them find skills on how to help their kids to continue with their education. And in fact, this was quite successful because it's now like a self-help group. The parents share the coping skills and how to deal with certain problems which all mothers and fathers who are raising adolescents have to face.
You're trying to create a sort of virtuous circle where the habits of before are broken, sort of you get the whole family involved and keen on the idea of the children continuing beyond compulsory education.
And the fact that they were chosen made them very keen to ensure that their kids made it to university, especially when the kids were brought over to university to see some of the departments here. And they were fascinated by the fact that these were everyday projects, which like robots and with the libraries, that's an issue we can pick up later on. But they were very fascinated, especially with the engineering department, because they said, oh, these are things we play with, but these are things we can study as well. Another project with the university has made now, but not before, because we were skipping from stone to stone, was inclusive dance. It was held, I think, 2 weeks ago. And it was done with a youth club where youths meet, especially youths who feel self-excluded from the community. And they did this dance for the community. And everybody was amazed by the capacity of these youths to transfer their emotions into movement. And in fact, we're trying to find ways how the university can help set up a community performance arts center to facilitate the control of the body, because the body, there are ways and means of using it and achieving certain goals, the use of the body to express emotions, the use of the body to motivate young kids to learn. And in fact, some of the kids who took part in this project were very, very angry with themselves that they hadn't done so well in school and they couldn't take dance up at a tertiary level.
Which is now possible at the university.
Yes, and that's what we're trying to show them, that there are shortcuts, you have to know them, how to get into the university if you are an adult and you wish to continue with your education.
And the idea also, if I've understood correctly, is that one's looking at the Cotonera area as a whole, looking at the incredible skills that many people in the area have, which go back a very, very long way. Those traditional skills like boat building, model building, and drama, for example, which is so much part of the life there. And showing people that those kind of skills have an enormous value and those kind of skills can be carried on up beyond compulsory education.
Yes, they can take up these skills, which they take as normal, and study things which they are very, very interested in, like filmmaking. Somebody was interested in editing, but then you find a lacuna in their educational background. They didn't like English, so they might have skipped English lessons at schools. How are they going to bridge that gap? And I think the university has to come in to find out kinds of programs, how we can bridge this gap. In fact, some of my colleagues at the Faculty of Education are thinking of programs exactly for this kind of gaps. And other ways, like studying skills. If you have somebody who has an attention deficit, how can you help this person to sit down and study even just for short periods of time? These are issues which we have to take on board, because people with these attention deficit problems will have to deal with it.
You were mentioning the study skills project. And I was very interested to note that, again, it's a sort of inclusive idea that you're dealing with the students, with the parents, you're involving even present university students in that.
In fact, that project came up from the discussion with parents. Parents said that some of them don't have the educational capacity to help their kids to do revision. So the KSU, Mr. Gabaretta, volunteered to find university students who were ready to help these 16-year-olds who are going to sit for their O-levels to revise past exam papers together, so that if they found a problem, they can draw the attention of the university student, then they can find help, which the parents might not be able to do.
And the students themselves would then act like role models for the young, because they're young, pretty young themselves.
And the 16-year-olds will see that anybody can make it to university. People who become students aren't some intellectuals who are always coming up with theories. And they are just normal people. If these made it, we can make it.
At this point, perhaps we better say exactly where the centre is, because perhaps people won't know where it is.
The center has the second floor of the ex-Lorenzo Gaffas Boys Secondary School in Vittoriosa. It's the last building before you enter Calcara, the arch of Calcara. So it's next door also to a football pitch, because somebody drew our attention, mentioned the football pitch.
And next to an avenue of very beautiful trees. I'm always amazed by those beautiful trees.
And the vista is very beautiful as well, of Calcar and Birgu.
And you've got a nice cortile there, which I'm sure in summer will be available for activities.
There are a number of pitches which can be used for summer activities, and there's a little theater which also can be used for certain things. In fact, I think we're using the yard for a robot war sometime in October. They used to hold it in Valletta, but they're all bringing a session also with the Vittoriosa to encourage young kids, boys and girls who are interested in robots, to come and see robots and then speak with the people who made these robots.
going back to the library question, you mentioned libraries before. This was something that has cropped up again and again, the importance of having a library which is accessible, not only physically accessible, readers. But to younger readers with books that would interest them.
Last year, I was in charge of linking the access project with resources within the community. So when I asked some of the kids who are taking part in the access projects, we have 12 kids which we are mentoring, we are providing mentors to help them, give them ideas on how to continue with their education. One of the issues which the girls mainly raised was the fact that there weren't enough books in the local library. So we were trying to find ways, not all local libraries in the Cotoneri area, but some of them are lacking in books which really interest young people. So we sent out this message, and interestingly enough, without a lot of effort, three established book agents in Malta provided us with books. These were Mirror, Agenda and Mitzi. We're starting from those, but if there are other people who have books which can motivate, encourage young people to take up reading in any language, please tell us about them.
I think that's important. Somehow we imagine that young people now are only interested in their electronic stuff. But books
are still important.
Still very important.
And for the boys, perhaps audiovisual material, which is educational, might help.
The place itself is going to be also open not only to young people, but also to adults, hopefully perhaps some adult education, because from what you're saying, it's clear that it's a holistic vision of things. It's no use just trying to persuade the young people or just trying to persuade their elders, but trying to actually involve everybody.
There are two projects in the pipeline. We're trying to market a university for the third age among people within the community. In fact, we're going to use the school to do the marketing side. And then there's this STEAM project, which Ms. Debin is going to conduct, which is going to show adult skills, coping skills, and how the structure works when it comes to access adult education. There are structures out there, but not everybody is aware of them, even though there are continuous radio programs about these issues.
Yes, I think that one has to go on repeating. I mean, as a communication person myself, I know that you can't just say something once, obviously. You have to repeat it, give the information to different groups in the area.
And sometimes the radio doesn't work because certain people you need face-to-face encounters, and that takes a lot of time. In fact, people tell you, well, you haven't done a lot of projects, but meeting little groups of people here and there takes a lot of time and maneuvering.
Yes, and time-consuming. But I don't think there's any other way of really
reaching out. And there's another project at the moment. The Bormla Regatta Group got some funds, some EU funds, and they're working together with Professor Pole on creating, building a specific regatta boat.
And in fact, this project has been very interesting as well, the whole Cotoneri Resource Centre project, because a lot of people from the university whose origins are from the Inner Harbour area, Cotonera, have come forward and have offered them their help.
I met once Professor Shriha in the corridor, and she said, I feel obliged to do something for the Sanglian people because they helped me a lot in a past project. So she's already trying to invent something. She already has something in mind, but it still has to come.
You're going to have some speakers, I think.
Yes, because you? Empowerment is the second remit. There's a lot of tangible and intangible heritage in the area, and not a lot of people know about it. Very interesting. Is it related to the fact that Cotoneri is considered as secondary in the Maltese mentality, which is wrong. There are so many interesting things which people don't know because of the stigma tied to the place. If you come walking in the streets, you soon realize that. But anyway, we have three main speakers. There's Professor Cassolo, who is going to speak about Francesco Vella. Francesco Vella was born in Cospicua, and he was one of the pioneers, together with Vassallo and Vassalli, to promote Maltese as a language in the 19th century. He was born in 1793. The second son of a Bormese and somebody from Valletta, from San Domenico. In fact, he died in Valletta. The second speaker is going to be Professor Carmelo Vassallo, who is going to speak about the merchants who derived from mainly Sanglia and Cospicua in the 17th, 18th century. And the last speaker is going to be Ms. De Angelis, who did a study on the Cali paintings in the Cospicua Parish Church. She realized how important they are for the whole Maltese nation, but unfortunately, due to structural damage to the church, these have been extensively damaged. And if somebody doesn't find funds to fix the church and consequently the Cali painting, we're going to lose national heritage in the near future, not in the long-term future.
Yes, there's so much artwork in the Cotonera area. Still, despite the fact that the image of it is that it was, you know, severely bombed during the war, which of course is true, but surprisingly
that it is poor,
enough, yes.
Like I met another lecturer who's doing his PhD on interior decorations in churches, and he was amazed about the silverware in Sanglia and Bormla, and he said it's something needs also to be done, in order to ensure that it isn't lost, it isn't tarnished, and it's taken for granted perhaps by the rest of the Maltese population.
There has been quite a bit of research, as we're saying, on various aspects of the region, but sometimes the research is kept to a thesis which is very much appreciated by the person who wrote it and also by the supervisors, perhaps, but it tends to get put on the shelf and that's the last anybody hears of it. And in fact, this is one of the things that I have heard from people from there. So, well, you know, I talked to so-and-so about his or her research, but I never got any feedback.
The study, nothing was done to bring it back to the community. I think some of the speakers want to bring it back to the community. Perhaps in the past there were barriers of communication between certain structures in the Cotonera area because they were afraid that the intellectuals were looking down upon them. That's not the issue. I think a lot of people know what there is in the Cotonera and they want to share it with the rest of the world. In fact, we're acting like a bridge between the people who have done research on issues related to the Cotonera and people who are going to do research in the future. We have a lot of experts and students who are doing projects, who are studying certain issues on the Cotonera, who approach us to find out what has been written about the project. In fact, we had a student from MCAST who wants to do his dissertation on viral marketing, on tourism. And he wanted to see what has been written on tourism in the Cotonera area and on the historical aspects which he can promote in his viral marketing. I didn't even know what viral marketing was.
The center really, as we're saying, is the focal point, not only because obviously you want people to find information, come to you for information, but it also serves as a Cotonera resource center in the sense that we're looking at, well, the inner harbor area in general, but in particular the three cities,
Carcara. We included Carcara. Yeah.
But sometimes there is a problem because they have between them they have great rivalry, of course, at a certain level, the Gatta level,
yes.
And it is a bit of an issue. And the idea of having the Cotonera Center, I suppose, is also so that people from the three cities will feel comfortable coming to your center and sort of being in a neutral area.
Yes, I think lately there's been something which has united the three cities. It was the issue of Palombo, which was praying at night, and it affected some of the buildings and the cars. And the three mayors made a statement, the three of them. I hope this kind of way is adopted for the future, yes. I think there are issues which are pertinent to the three of them. One of them is the high absenteeism in schools, especially at secondary level, with regards to boys. We need to come together, all of us, to see how we're going to deal with that. It's not something which the university is going to come up. There have been attempts, for example, by mayors and certain parish priests who approach certain families where they know that the kids are not being sent to school, to find out ways of trying to solve the problem. But I think it's also needs to be taken on a national level. It's not just giving citations to families. Something needs to be done. Some of the principals, college principals, found ways, but this was done on an individual level, like seeing why the students isn't coming to school and trying to find an educational program which fits the students' interest and motivate them to continue with their education. But if you have so many kids not going to school, I don't know how many individual programs can be taught up.
Obviously, the centre is not going to be a fix-all solution. However, it will be able, whilst doing its work, to pinpoint certain issues as well that can then be passed on to other authorities, other institutions who would perhaps be able to.
Another issue which is continuously mentioned is social housing. Dumping families with social problems in the same location means that the resources in that community cannot cater to all these families which have problems. Usually neighborhoods tend to help each other out, but if all the whole street is full, or there's a majority of people with particular problems, it means that that problem becomes the culture of the place. And the people, what we speak about, the cycle of poverty, they cannot get out of that kind of a situation.
Just in the last few minutes that we have at our disposal, perhaps we could say something about Skopje Universitet Tbilisi, which was an initiative that happened at the beginning of November.
Thanks to you.
Well, me and the whole team. And it was sort of the prequel, shall we say, to opening the centre
and making contact with the communities and finding out what the communities wanted. This was, as you know, there was a tent set up in the three cities. One on Monday it was for Senglia, on Wednesday it was for Cospicua, and on Friday it was in Vittoriosa. The tent was set up so that the community would come in and share with us their concerns, their interests when it comes to education. We heard a lot of life history and realized how limited our perspective of the world is, because the older generation there, especially the men, used to travel all over the world. That was very interesting for us. We heard that the elderly wanted to know more about computers. They needed to find ways. And in fact, we are trying to find a project which makes the elderly familiar, especially with tablets. So it seems it's not the young people who need to know the tablet, but the elderly. There were talks in the evening where people from the community came to express what they wanted out of the Cottonera Resource Center, and one of the main issues which came up from the debates in Bormla and Senglia were the stigma and how the stigma might disempower younger people from continuing with their education.
And how the press didn't help either, because they viewed the attitude of the press as well as negative.
Yes, they said that the press usually mentions only the negative aspect. When they need to make their voices heard, we never find the help of the press. I'm speaking about the never, because I live in Bormland. I know when we needed to draw attention, for example, to there was this a Roman relic within the Cotton on air garden, when they're trying to fix it, we were drawing attention that it might be damaged. None of the press showed up. So these are issues which hurt people and might disempower people, for example, who continue with their education and find that they're trying to escape the stigma. But the lecturers, when they wanted to make a negative example, usually pick on the cotonera to give a negative example of, for example, kids who do not continue with their education. So stigma was disempowering. But at the same time, we realized how many skills there were. There was Professor Poller with his boats and his machines. He was continually surrounded by elderly men, young men, and young kids.
People who specialized had specialized skills very often in the dockyard or had been in the Navy. So they were familiar with what he was talking about.
And probably they gave him tips as well, because there was a lot of sharing in that community. I was very interested to see, for example, young kids being interested in Timothy Gambin's lecture on his diving,
maritime archaeology.
And they were telling him their father does it, but not to bring up things, if they bring up fish. So it was very interesting to see these little kids listening to what was happening around them.
And debates were actually organized by people from the different cities themselves. I mean, just sort of facilitated it. They got the groups together, the drama groups, and it was a lovely mix, actually, in the debates. There was the odd politician, there were people from the drama groups, as I said, there were
adolescents,
all different ages,
the parish,
all had something to say.
The local council, everybody came, and I think it was the young people's voice that was heard. The most interesting conversation topic which was raised by the young people was that the Cotonera area is being sold in these mega projects like the, for example, Cotonera waterfront, which is leaving young people with no space where they can meet in the public under the watchful eye of the whole community. Because that's another issue which we don't pick up on, how important the community is to ensure that young people don't get into trouble. And in fact, the Cotonera Resource Center has picked up on this. We're trying to get funds from the Youth in Action to get back these spaces, get back the night. We're getting back spaces for young people.
Well, thank you very, very much, Dr. Josanne Kutaya, chairperson of the Cotonera Resource Center, for coming to talk to us about it
thank
today.
You.
I know there's going to be lots of other opportunities to speak about this really fantastic new initiative of the University of Malta. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.